Good afternoon, distinguished guests, soldiers, civilians, and members of the Fort Coy community. On behalf of the Deputy Garrison Commander, Lieutenant Colonel Corkum, welcome to the Fort McCoy National Disability Employment Awareness Observance Event. I am Jaime Herrera, a Senior Equal Employment Opportunity Specialist with the Army Reserve EEO Office, and I will be the Master of Ceremony for today's events. National Disability Employment Awareness Month, NDEAM, recognizes the contributions by those with disabilities who make our nation great. Led by the U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Disability Employment Policy, NDEAM reaffirms the Department of Defense's commitment to recruit and advance disabled individuals throughout its workforce. The DOL has chosen the theme, Access to Good Jobs for All. People with disabilities are part of a diverse group that includes people with sensory, physical, and mental conditions. Disabilities cross the lines of age, ethnicity, race, sex, sexual orientation, and socioeconomic status. Almost everyone is likely to experience some form of disability, temporary or permanent, at some point in their life. Do you know about Olmstead versus LC? Olmstead versus LC is considered the most important Supreme Court case for disabled members' civil rights. 2024 marks the 25th anniversary of this key decision, which expanded the Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, and bolstered the independent living movement. This case was brought by Lois Curtis and Elaine Wilson after they were kept in a Georgia mental institution despite being recommended for community-based treatment. As a result of neglect towards them, attorney Sue Jamison filed lawsuit on their behalf against the Georgia Department of Human Resources. At the Supreme Court, the justices ruled in favor of the women, asserting they had been unfairly segregated into institutions alongside others with disabilities. The ruling specified that individuals with disabilities had the right to receive treatment in integrated settings if they choose, with their doctor's approval, and provided the accommodations were reasonable. In the years since, the Olmstead decision has served as the basis of several other decisions that have increased the rights of disabled individuals. Olmstead versus LC has allowed disabled individuals greater autonomy and freedom from discrimination. It tested the strength of the ADA and served as the bedrock for federal government policies in providing opportunities for independent living and employment. Nobody should be held back from access to a job because of a disability. People with disabilities offer important, unique perspectives that can make the workplace and our nation at large better. The DOD recognizes this and strives to build an inclusive workforce for total force readiness. Did the chaplain make it, sir? Okay. Today, I have the honor of introducing our guest speaker, Ms. Jancy Domel. She has been part of the Fort McCoy community for 20 years. She began her employment with the AFES Exchange, years later would be hired on as a temporary fill with DPTMS, and finally in 2011 became an official DOD civilian with an installation tenant, the Defense Logistics Agency. I have had the pleasure of working with her over the years and even served with her husband, Lieutenant Colonel retired Jim Domel, when I was on active duty with the 181st Eagle Brigade. The therapy team of Jancy and Brutus provide a unique combination of entertainment and education to people of all ages and abilities. Brutus performs a multitude of entertaining skills while Jancy educates and tells factual stories about pigs. Therapy animals like Brutus provide a source of comfort, a pleasant distraction, and create a talking point to spark engagement, increasing social interactions and lightening the mood. Please give a warm welcome to our guest speaker and my friend, Ms. Jancy Domel, and her therapy partner, Brutus.
Well, thank you all for coming. I'm not sure if anybody didn't know there was going to be a pig here today, but this is Brutus, and if you were concerned about Minnie, yes, he is Minnie, even though he might not look very Minnie. Brutus. Now he's going to want a drink of water after eating his peanut butter. Anyway. All right. Well, first of all, I want to just talk a little bit about the difference between a service animal, an emotional support animal, and a therapy animal. When Brutus and I are out and about, I get a lot of people that'll ask me if he's a service animal or if I'm training him to be a service animal for someone, but in fact, service animals can only be dogs and mini horses. And service animals are actually not considered to be a pet. They're considered to be a working animal. And when you see a service animal out and about, you know, it's important to realize and recognize that they are working, they are providing a service for someone with a disability, and they should not be approached to pet or anything like that. So it's important to recognize that. So emotional support animals, which have become kind of more in the public over, oh, I'd say the last 5-10 years, especially with people trying to get random, odd, unique animals on airplanes, saying they're an emotional support animal. Because of that, now they've really kind of regulated things. But an emotional support animal is not covered by the ADA like service animals are. It's actually a prescription from a medical professional for somebody that requires a emotional support animal or ESA to help them with a mental or disability, or not a disability necessarily, but just to help them with those needs. And you can go online and you can find lots of various websites that will say that they can provide you with an emotional support certificate, and they charge you, you know, $99.99. Those things are not real. I mean, it's just for someone to make money. So that is not a real thing. It's something that you have to get from a letter from a medical professional. So that leads us to therapy animals. Therapy animals can be any type of animal. Most of the time you'll see dogs. Brutus and I, we're not your typical typical therapy team. Usually when you think of a therapy animal or therapy team, you may think of a dog or a cat or a rabbit, and you know, they sit with people and people pet them, and it's just very, very relaxed and very... but Brutus and I, because you probably wouldn't want a pig to sit on your lap, we are a little bit different. We provide a little bit of entertainment and a little bit of education about pigs, because there's a lot of misconceptions about pigs. Brutus. but there's lots of different things that therapy animals can provide. There's actually different types of therapy animals. Brutus and I, we're kind of on the casual side, which would be animal. Which would fall into just animal-assisted activities where it's not documented. There's other animal-assisted or animal therapy teams that work in a professional setting, such as like physical therapy. If you think sometimes when you're doing physical therapy, and if you have like a shoulder injury and you're having to do certain motion, you know, you might be more willing to throw a ball to an animal rather than work with your human physical therapist. There's also therapy teams that are used in schools that help with children. There's therapy animal teams that are brought in during devastation and things such as with the hurricane. Once they get things established, they may bring in therapy animals to shelters just to kind of help relax people. But it's important to recognize service animal, emotional support animal, and therapy animals. For us, as a therapy animal team, we are only allowed in where we're invited. So we can't just go into any building and just walk in. Any pet-friendly store we can go into, or you know, wherever we're invited. Service animals, they are allowed basically anywhere where their handler needs to go. Emotional support animals, they are not allowed. You know, they're just similar to therapy animals. They're allowed or anything is pet friendly. With service animals, they are covered by the American with Disabilities Act, and they cannot be denied entry, and they actually do not require any kind of documentation or even a service animal vest. So it's important just to recognize when you see an animal on a boat that they may be actually working. Does anybody have any questions about that before we move on to some of examples and things that we do? So So for Brutus and I, we primarily visit nursing homes, the VA, schools, libraries. We've gone to universities. We've met with Governor Evers to celebrate National Pig Day. We were at the Department of Corrections last week at their central office. And we also work with a bunch of organizations that work with people with disabilities of all ages. So one thing I would say, a lot of feedback that we get, especially from nursing homes, is that they're amazed at how many people actually come out to see Brutus, that he's probably one of the most popular attractions. Most people, I think, are curious if it's actually going to be a real pig that comes out. But so once they realize it's a real pig and then they understand what we do, it's a little bit different than what they're used to seeing. They may not be comfortable with your typical therapy team with a dog and a handler. So they're generally pretty excited and interested to hear what we have to say. Brutus. He knows I'm going to be taking his treat away from him here in a second. So one thing specifically with pigs is pigs are very emotional animals, and they're actually very drawn to people with special needs, especially children and adults with autism. So Brutus acts totally different when he's with certain abilities. Come here, Brutus. Negotiating with me right now because he just wants a treat. Come on, up. Come on. Come here. Up. Come on. Come on. Well. Can you come up and do that? Come on. Come on. Come on. There you go. Now play your piano. Can you do it again? Can you do it again? So along with Brutus doing some tricks and entertaining and showing what a pig can do, we also educate a lot of people. You know, when you hear of a pig, you think of stinky, dirty. But pigs are actually extremely clean. They're highly intelligent animals. Raise your hand if you think dogs are smarter than pigs. Raise your hand if you think pigs are smarter than dogs. Raise your hand if you think this might be a trick question. So pigs are actually way smarter than dogs. They're the smartest domesticated animal and fourth smartest animal in the world. Dogs are about 12 on the list. Press your button. Press your button. Oh, did I not turn it on? All right. There you go. He has his own cheer section. So a few examples of how Brutus has worked with or interacted with people and children of different abilities. When we've gone to daycares, a lot of times, well, there are a lot of adults that have never seen a pig up close, but children that have never seen a pig before get to interact and feed and touch and pet an animal that they normally wouldn't see. And then they're taught about animals, especially something like a pig that, again, a lot of people don't think of as being a pet or being an emotional animal. So it teaches them to have compassion. There have been a few occasions where Brutus came into contact with a young child that was crying, and people were amazed that Brutus stopped eating and was actually engaged with that child because he was actually concerned on why that child was crying. Gets really excited about a certain one. But having a therapy animal really just kind of makes you forget about what you, you know, had going on previously. Therapy animals have been proven to help people with anxiety. We've done some visits with the VA with their PTSD groups. And we really try to engage with people and get them to interact where maybe they would normally be very quiet. One of our goals is to get people to laugh. More and more businesses and employers have been engaging with therapy animals because they do recognize that it does perform something positive for their employees. Viterbo University, we've gone to several times now during their finals week, because they recognize that it's important to help their students de-stress. And they're generally, the students when they come by, they are generally shocked at first, why is there a pig here? And then they stay and watch and, you know, they always say how, gosh, I needed that today. That really kind of helped me kind of forget about what I was worried about. People say to me, come on, my dog's got to be smarter than your pig. And I tell them, well, can your dog play basketball? Ooh, come on, focus here. Again. Oh, are we doing that on purpose? Sometimes he likes to be a little sassy. There you go, high five. I always get asked, too, by people when we're setting up, what are all the toys for? And I tell them, well, I think it would be a little weird if I was doing them for you. But they just, people just don't associate a pig with being able don't get the treat until you get it on there, Brutus. All right, try again. Come on. There you go. High five. Can you do a circle? Can you do a circle? Oh, that's a lot of work there. So So contrary to the belief that pigs are dirty animals, pigs are actually very clean. They're considered to be hypoallergenic because they have hair, not fur. So they don't have the dander that cats and dogs have. Has anyone ever said, oh my gosh, I'm sweating like a pig? But did you know pigs don't even have sweat glands? So because they don't sweat, they won't have any kind of funky odor. Did anybody smell any, like, you know, did it smell like a barn when you came in here? Did it smell stinky like a pig? No. So because they can't sweat, they won't have any kind of body odor. But since they can't regulate their body temperature, when it gets warm outside, where do you see pigs? In the mud. So they're trying to stay cool, and they will actually purposely cover themselves in mud because that serves as their sunscreen and also protects them from bugs. But they do like a good mud bath. Has anyone seen Brutus around before? We've done several events out here at McCoy before. Is this everybody's first time seeing Brutus? So we try to be very flexible and adapt to any environment. So sometimes when we're outside at a big event, we'll set up and have a little fencing area. But we allow kids and adults alike to come up and pet Brutus and feed him. Of course, the feeding is Brutus's favorite. I don't know why. Why is that your favorite, Brutus? And then we can do inside events. We've done small one-on-one or, you know, with a few people up to big groups. When we go to the VA, sometimes we'll go room to room and go with individual people. Some of my favorite visits have to do with people. There are several individuals at nursing homes. One was a woman that she would only come out to see Brutus, and she had dementia. And every time we would visit, she would tell us the story about how when she grew up, how one winter it was so cold and they raised pigs, and how those little piglets had to come in the house in the wintertime, and they all sat in front of the big fireplace, and then they didn't want to leave. So she would tell us that story every time. But she would only come out of her room to see Brutus. She would never come out for any other events. We've had a lot of farmers or people that had raised hogs, and none of them had really thought of a pig in this way. They just thought of their hogs as ending up on a plate. So we've actually had people in tears because they just didn't realize how emotional pigs can be. They're very much like toddlers. I get asked a lot, is it more like having a dog as a pet or a cat? And I said, neither. It's like having a human child because they're so intelligent. They can be very manipulative to get what they want. And so I'm just feeding him treats here. He's not even doing anything to earn it. We also talk about teacup pigs, and that's why Brutus is a rescue. And we also have 10 other pigs at home that are rescues, mostly because people thought they were getting a teacup pig that was going to be 30 pounds full grown. But unfortunately, there's no such thing as a teacup pig. Brutus was supposed to be a teacup pig, but as you can see, his teacup runneth over. But teacup pigs are just baby pigs that get bigger. So whenever we go on a visit and people see, you know, mini pig, and then he shows up and they're like, whoa, he's not very mini at all. And I say, well, actually he is mini. If anybody's raised or if you've gone to the fair and you've seen those really big pigs, they can be in excess of 800 or 900 pounds. So if Brutus was standing next to one of those big farm pigs, you would say, oh yeah, he's pretty mini. Does anyone want to guess how much Brutus weighs? Don't worry, you won't hurt his feelings. He's hurt it all. I'll give you a hint. A mini pig is anything under 300 pounds. So what would someone say?
130.
130? Oh, come on. 175. 200?
299.
299.9. Any other guesses? Oh, come on. Just throw a number out there. All right, well, a few months back when we were at the VA, we actually got up on one of those scales they had. So Brutus weighs in at 155 and a half pounds.
That was the summertime weights and now
you know, I mean, yeah, it's been a few months since we did that, and you know, although I can usually tell if he's gaining weight because his harness won't fit, and I have to make it a little bit larger, but. And Brutus is full grown. They grow till they're about 5 years old, and he just turned 6 a few months back, and they can live up to 20 years. But they do make very good pets because they are very emotional and you do form quite a bond with them compared to dogs and cats. You really have to work at it. They're very, you have to earn their trust, and then there's like a mutual trust and respect. No, it's hard to think of respecting a pig, but they can be very moody. Very stubborn, so if anybody's ever said, man, you're really pig-headed, I was going to make a comment about my husband, but I won't since he's not here. Just kidding. Edit that part out. But yeah, pigs can be very stubborn. That's one thing a lot of people say, is it common to see a pig as a therapy animal? And it's not very common, for one, because it's a lot more work than a dog. If Brutus doesn't want to do something, he doesn't want to do it. And then I have to coax him, usually with treats. But he will throw tantrums. He's just like a toddler. Yeah, good. Brutus likes to be very stylish, and sometimes we get a little flack for dressing up a pig, but if you knew how stubborn pigs were, if he didn't want that on, it would not be on. The one thing Brutus said no to were jeans. I tried making him a pair of jeans. That was a no. But he's got a tuxedo and he's got an army uniform. We almost wore the army uniform today, but he's a 3-star. We didn't wanna. He's a 3-star snooter. We didn't want to cause any big scene there with his rank. So there are quite a few different organizations. There's some nationwide organizations to certify therapy animals. For us, we are certified through the American Mini Pig Association. Because I'm an overachiever, I was going through the process of having him certified through Pet Partners, which is one of the top nationwide therapy programs. However, they are very, very strict about what you can and cannot do. For one, he has to be on a leash at all times, and I have to be in control of him. And given what we do, it's a little bit hard for me to do that. Another one is no costumes or outfits. And that's one of, I'd say people, that's their, one of their most favorite things is because since it's, you know, not unusual enough to have a pig walk in your building or office, but then there's a pig wearing a hat or a tuxedo or, you know, so. So we did not follow through with that, but there's other programs. Just like, you know, if you have pets at home, not everyone likes to be introduced to new people, or if you have company come over. You know, you might have a dog that's protective, you know, and so if they're gonna be a little bit, you know, aggressive towards strangers, they probably wouldn't make a very good therapy animal. With pigs, all pigs have a very unique personality that's their own. And so Brutus is the only one out of my 11 pigs that is a therapy animal. And mostly that's because he is such a laid back, chill personality. He loves riding the car, which is a plus. But the very most important thing is just to make sure that your animal is wanting to do the work. So if Brutus didn't want to do this or didn't enjoy doing it, then we would have to stop. And there'll come a point when, as he gets a little bit older, where maybe it gets harder for him to move around and things, and that may be the point where we stop. Or if he just starts not really wanting to, you know, go in the car, I'm sure there'll be signs of him not wanting to do it. But the one of the most important things is to make sure that they're actually enjoying it. You don't want to force them into doing it, but. Nursing homes can be very relaxed. Some don't require to have an animal certified. So for Brutus, when I was first training him, I had reached out to a few just to see if they were willing to have him come visit since we were in training, because I didn't know if he would even want to do therapy work without putting him in that environment. So a lot of times, nursing homes can be a little bit more relaxed, but places when we got like to the VA, they're very strict on requiring a certification, and as a volunteer, I have to go through a whole bunch of training. So it kind of varies. We run into a lot of people that are interested in, they say they have a puppy or a dog or a cat that they would love to do that with, and I just recommend, you know, going online and you can look for, you know, there's several organizations, in Wisconsin. And you kind of have to just find the one that, you know, suits you as far as with the information. Some provide, like Pet Partners will provide like $1 million worth of insurance in case there's any incident. So there's lots of different things, but as it's becoming more popular and more accepted to have a therapy animal visit, there's more and more programs out there, more and more information out there. But I can tell you it's very rewarding to see how people react with Brutus and how we've visited with people that have had traumatic brain injuries or those that have been, you know, in car accidents and have had some major issues from that. And we've been told that Brutus has been the only thing that has really kept their, they've really keyed in, you know, and they've put their eyes on Brutus versus just staring at a TV, and that he's, yes. And they're just very amazed at how somebody, you know, that normally doesn't care about a dog or any other animal coming through, that they've really focused in on Brutus. And if they're able to, we let them feed him. We've got a retractable fork that we use so people that are in wheelchairs and things can reach down and feed him without having to really reach over. But you can see Brutus enjoys doing this because I'm not even prompting him and he's doing things on his own. Saying, hello, where's my treat? Give me a high five. But we get asked a lot too from some skeptical people you know, what kind of therapy stuff does he do? Like, what can he, you know, what can he possibly do to make people, you know, happy or, you know, because they're, again, they're thinking of the same, you know, a dog comes in with their handler, and you just sit and kind of pet the dog, and it, so they're trying to visualize how a pig could do this. And I tell them, hey, we're different. We try to be entertaining and interactive. We try to get people involved and ask questions. Does anybody want to come up and feed Brutus? You know, you want to, actually, I tell people, poor Brutus, he's so neglected. It's been 10 seconds since he's eaten anything, and he's just starving, and he's just waiting for somebody to please come up here and feed him. Come on. Give me a volunteer. Somebody come up here. Poor Brutus, he's starving. Come on. Somebody come up here. Poor Brutus. With the other pigs? So there is a hierarchy, or a pecking order, in a pig herd.
What all do you feed him?
So these are grapes.
I know these are, but what do you...
Oh, he had animal crackers, and I was feeding him some dried sweet potatoes, and vanilla wafer cookies.
The grass pigs
are
fat? Like you said, grass pigs are fat?
I know. Well, it's only on visits does he get extra special treats. But yeah, grass can be very fattening. But what was I saying before? No, I lost my total. Oh, the pig herd. So there's a hierarchy, and it doesn't matter about age or size. It's about their personality. And Brutus is on the bottom of the pecking order. He really doesn't like to be challenged. He doesn't like, you know, he doesn't like conflict, so when he sees the other pigs, he kind of runs away because they will let each other know where they sit in that pecking order by kind of nipping and swiping at each other. So Brutus doesn't really like his face touched, and he's a little bit insecure about being touched at first just because he's associating being touched as being like the other pigs, trying to establish the dominancy and where he fits in there. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. You didn't do it. Do it again. And Brutus, believe it or not, pigs can be picky eaters. They don't eat everything and everything like people say or think they do. Brutus loves grass, but he will not eat lettuce or spinach or any other kind of leafy salad stuff. But just grass. Mm. Anybody else want to feed him? Come on. You don't even have to get close. But yeah, this comes in handy that I've used where people in wheelchairs and scooters and things, because I was concerned that Bruce is vertically challenged and that when they would reach down low, I was worried that maybe they would, you know, gravity would force them to kind of come out of their chair. So this helps and they can reach down without having to really reach for them. And people with disabilities and things that, you know, it helps them be able to grab something, it helps them be able to move their arms, and it's something that they can do, and it's, you know, it seems like it's, you know, a fun thing. It doesn't seem like it's work because they're just reaching and feeding Brutus and they're not realizing that they're using their arms and things to help with their range of motion. So Brutus, we've gone into all different types of professional settings and more casual settings. At the Turbo, we set up in their school store office area. Going down to the Capitol to meet with Governor Evers, we were up in his governor's quarters with all of his interns and staff. Oh, and yes, Brutus is totally potty trained. It's usually, it's like, yes, I am. That's usually one of the top questions we get asked is, you know, is he gonna make a mess or what kind of cleanup is there gonna have to be? And I tell him there isn't any, he goes outside. Because again, pigs are very, very clean animals.
are great.
What's something else when you think of a pig, what do you think of besides bacon and ham and pork chops? We kind of went over some of the common misconceptions about being dirty and stinky. Does any like pig noises? So pigs actually have about 20 different vocalizations that they use to communicate with each other, different oints and snorts and squeals. Brutus is pretty quiet. I can usually get him. He loves peanut butter. Usually when he smells it. A pig's sense of smell is 2,000 times stronger than a human's. Now you're gonna be really quiet. Usually he'll start talking. You're not gonna talk today?
It's like, okay, give me the peanut butter.
Some of my pigs squeal just because they're hungry and want to eat. So when they get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, it sounds like I've got Jurassic Park playing. But yeah, Brutus is fairly quiet. He will squeal or make other sounds when he's upset or he's, you know, mad or... they do need to have their hooves trimmed and their tusks trimmed, and I have a farrier that travels all over the Midwest that stops by, and they flip them over on their backs to trim them, and he said that the more spoiled the pig is, the more that they will scream during the whole time, and the more kind of feral they are, the more they will pretty much fall asleep. What do you think Brutus does? So he's gotten a little better. Now it's not really a scream, it's more of just an irritated grunt. And did you know a pig's squeal has registered louder on the decibel meter than an airplane taking off, a jet engine of an airplane? So if you can imagine how loud an airplane is when it takes off and you're at the airport, a pig can squeal louder than that. You want me to demonstrate? Just kidding, Brutus, we won't do that. Although I've heard them squeal pretty loud. It probably hasn't even come close to that. And it's pretty loud. And that's actually one of their self-defense mechanisms, because pigs are prey animals. And they will squeal really loud. They, before I give it away, I kind of did already. But do you think pigs are fast or slow? I mean, judging by Brutus today here, you'd probably say, oh, do-do-do-do-do, it's pretty slow. But pigs are actually sprinters. They can run about about 12 miles an hour. I don't know if they'd maintain the whole mile that long, but so they can run very fast, and yeah, I've had to chase after them when they've grabbed something they shouldn't, and I probably look like a crazy person trying to get them, but yeah, they're very, very fast. Right, Brutus? I forgot to ask, usually one of the first questions I ask is if anybody here raised pigs or knew or has family that raised pigs and that you've been around pigs, so that way you kind of have a general idea of what it's like to interact with pigs. But actually all pigs are very intelligent, even though Brutus would like to think that he's very, very special, which yes, you are, Brutus, you're very special, but all pigs are very intelligent. All pigs, even big farm pigs, could be taught to do tricks. What are you doing? You hiding? How do I get him in the car? So I will sometimes tell people Brutus has this hat that's got a propeller on it, and I'll tell people we wait for this gust of wind, and then, because, you know, pigs fly. But he has a ramp, so, you know, nothing too special. But yeah, he has a ramp. I haven't been able to lift him for years. So, yeah, he goes right up the ramp. What are you doing, Brutus?
What's his standard diet?
His standard diet? So there is a pig feed. There actually are some formulated for potbelly pigs, but really you just want a non-grower hog feed or pig feed. Actually, it's just a pellet. It's just a pellet food. And it has all the, you know, minerals and vitamins that they need. Pigs are omnivores, meaning that they will eat both meat and plants. But generally, domesticated pigs don't need the protein of meat. And sometimes I get asked, if you gave him bacon, would he eat it? Yeah, he'd eat it. I mean, he doesn't know what it is, you know? But yeah, he would probably eat that. Regularly, you know, during the day, on a regular week when he's not visiting, he gets his food, his pellets, and he'll be out and he'll graze, he'll eat grass in the yard. Pigs they'll root in the ground and they get minerals and things from the soil. But then we try to just give them healthy, low-calorie snacks. Like right now, pumpkins are in season. Pumpkin is really good for them. It's really good for the digestive system. Another thing about Brutus is he has a texture thing. He doesn't like anything mushy or slimy, so he won't eat bananas. And so with the pumpkin, when you scoop out the seeds and everything, and you know how it's kind of slimy, whatever, yeah, he won't eat that. He'll eat everything else, and then he'll leave that. But if he's outside, then the other pigs will eat that and clean it up for me, so. But yeah, Brutus, pigs, they have more taste buds than humans, and they can differentiate between sweet and spicy and sour and bitter. They generally have kind of a sweet tooth, and Brutus loves ice cream, and he loves cookies, and he loves cupcakes and peanut butter. And what else, Brutus? And compared to dogs, so I'm feeding him grapes, and grapes are toxic to dogs. Another thing pigs can have is chocolate. It's not toxic to them. So Brutus and the other pigs, come here. Hey, come here. They like cause and effect. They like knowing that they made something like move or make a sound. If any of you have been to the VA and the main hospital entrance or clinic entrance, and they have that big circular door. So, Brutus, come here. So, last winter we were up front there, and Brutus realized that if he walked close enough to it, that it would spin. And he would walk up and it would spin, and then he'd step back, and then he'd walk up and spin, and everyone was like, is he doing that on purpose? I'm like, yeah, he's pretty excited that he made that door move. Brutus, come here. Come here. Come here. You can see all the grapes I just threw on the ground for you. And everybody kind of got a kick out of that, except it was December, and every time the door would come through, there was a big cold whoosh of air, so we only did that for a little bit. But pigs can be very manipulative if you have them in the house, and a lot of people have pet pigs and they don't have them confined to an area if they're gone and let them have full access. You know, they may seem very well behaved for a year or two, and then, you know, next thing you know, they'll find out where all the food is. There are people that have had to have their refrigerators ratchet strap closed because they'll get into the refrigerators. They'll, you know, pull things out of the drawers. Sometimes they'll just have an attitude and they'll decide to pull everything out of the pantry, knock over potted plants, knock over chairs. They're very, very strong. Brutus, what are you doing? Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Brutus. He does have very good hearing. It's just very selective. Like my husband and children.
if my husband would have showed up today, I wouldn't make little things like that.
He'll say he just forgot because I didn't remind him. Another thing we get asked a lot is training him to do these things. So with pigs being very intelligent and very food motivated, it's quite easy to train them. They're a lot easier to train than dogs. His little piano was the very first thing that he learned, and he probably picked that up in within 10 minutes. So things like basketball and the rings, we just have to break down into different steps. So sometimes he gets sassy with these rings because he used to get a treat after every ring, and now he's got to wait till the end, so. So he pretty much lives in the house, and that's his choice. And when I do let him outside and have him out with everybody, when he's had enough grazing, or now that it's starting to get colder out, he'll come back up to the door and wait for me to let him in. He hasn't really bonded with any of the other pigs. I guess I'm like his person. They usually will bond with another pig, or if they're the only pig, they'll bond with a human. And because pigs are very emotional, if say their pig buddy passes away, they will actually mourn the death of their pig friend, and they will cry real tears, and they can get very depressed. Do a circle. Okay, I'll tell you a couple quick stories about, they weren't my pigs, but just a few stories that were actually, you can Google them, and it does, because it doesn't seem like they'd be real, but you can Google them and find them. But, so, well, this may have been 10 years ago now already, but this woman had a pet potbelly pig, and she was very well fed, and also had some little dogs, and the little dogs had a little doggy door to come in and out. But that pig, you know, she had to go through the regular door because she was pretty big. Well, one morning the woman started having chest pains. She collapsed on the floor. And her pig somehow wedged herself out through that doggy door and went out and laid down in the middle of the road until somebody finally stopped, because there was a pig laying in the middle of the road. Stopped, got out, and pig got up, started walking. So the guy follows the pig, you know, to tell the owner, like, hey, your pig is out and laying in the middle of the road. So follows the pig back to the house, looks in, sees the woman laying on the floor, calls 911. They save her life. A couple of years ago, actually, I think it was during COVID, or right after COVID, these people, they had a Ring doorbell, and they were having some break-ins in the neighborhood, and these burglars broke into the house. And once they got through the front door, this potbelly pig comes flying out at them. And basically, those burglars hightailed it out there. So the pig essentially saved them from being robbed. Come here, Brunus. Does anybody else have any questions or comments, or you want to come up and feed Brutus in the last couple minutes before we finish up? We do have stickers, so if you didn't get one, if you weren't one of the first people here, we've got Brutus stickers. Brutus does do birthday parties, and he's done a wedding reception, so you know he's available. I'd just like to thank everyone for having us here today and to give you a little background on a not very obvious animal choice for a therapy animal. And we hope that, you know, we did a little therapy today, so it helped reduce some stress, and you could see firsthand how a therapy animal can work in your environment and work day. So.
Thank you, Jancy, and thank you, Grubus. Informative, learned a lot today. Mostly that a pig is more musically inclined than I am. That's awesome. As a disabled veteran employee, I can attest to how important programs like Jancy and Grubus's are, so again, thank you. Now please welcome Lieutenant Colonel Corkum, the Garrison Deputy Commander, as he presents Ms. Domo with a token of appreciation and his closing remarks.
Jason, thank you for coming out. We appreciate it. Brutus, thanks for hanging out with us and playing us some music. It's always a fun time, right? So we just wanted to present you with something, to say thank you. And it says to Ms. Jancy Domo and Brutus Therapy Team, in gratitude for your contributions during our National Disability Awareness Month observance event, your commitment and values are vital in making this an outstanding educational event. Your endeavors are greatly appreciated.
Thank you so much.
Hey,
I'll try to get
Brutus
to stand up here. Brutus.
Should I give it to him?
Yeah. He's like, can I eat it? Is it edible? Is it a big chocolate bar?
It could be. It might be. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, great. Sorry. Thank you. Brutus, look.
So yeah, I guess closing remarks, and again, thank you for coming out. Thank you for doing this. It's something to remember, you know, not all disabilities are visible. We don't know what people are dealing with, so it's important to treat people with kindness and compassion and give them that chance to show what they're capable of, no matter what they may or may not be dealing with. So it's something that the DOD, we gotta keep doing. It's something that, you know, Brutus and Jancy, you are able to bring out people and just always let's enable people to do their best and remember to really look at the whole person and not just maybe what they can or can't do. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's event. Thank you for your attendance and support. We hope to see you at the next observance, the National American Indian Heritage Month. Have a great day.